that you will either influence others or others will influence you. And I think that's basically true. I officiated, I preached at a funeral Tuesday, and I read this to the strangers there. Most of them were strangers to me. Some were from this church. But anyway, I cut this ad out of the Eau Claire newspaper some time ago, and I'll just be frank with you, and it's on tape, so what? Smith Funeral Home advertised, "How do we explain death to children?" I did this at a funeral now, and this doesn't go over real big in the world, you know, but so what? I'm a man of God, not a man of the world. And there's a big picture of Art Linkletter here, who is nationally influential, if not internationally influential. You'll have to, how many have ever heard of Art Linkletter? Almost everybody here, if not everybody, then you know how widespread his influence is. Here's what he wrote, quote, Art Linkletter, not Smith, Art Linkletter. "Most of my career has involved kids in one way or another, and never have I lost my respect for their ability to adapt to situations. Psychologists agree that children need to understand that death is part of life, a natural course of events like the seasons, the sunrise and sunset, or flowers that give us so much pleasure before they die. Most important is to avoid fairy tales of relating death to sleep." I got my scissor and I cut this thing out of the paper and I wrote after that statement, "A fairy tale of relating death to sleep." I said, Jesus did, Daniel did, Paul did, the Bible does, and I'm going to. Praise the Lord. You're a member of the Order of the Golden Rule. Be pleased to discuss children and death with you in greater detail. I don't think anybody in the world has got a better understanding of death than the Pentecostals. You know why? Because they got the Holy Ghost, which is life in them. They know something about the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. I get excited about truth. I love the truth. And I guess here's one from Brother Saban's church. The following three articles were published in the St. Paul Dispatch during September 1985. Here's one of his ads in the paper. Not this ad. This ad. Not lies. Truth. "Who came to save the world? Did God send a delegate? A deputy? Trinitarians. 95% of all Christian denominations, Protestant and Catholic. God sent his eternal Son, the second person in the Godhead, eternally begotten by eternal generation, a mysterious non-biblical process carried out in eternity past." Now that doesn't even sound biblical to me. I mean, have you ever read the phrase in the Bible, eternal Son? Have you ever read the phrase in the Bible, second person in the Godhead? Have you ever read eternally begotten? Have you ever read eternal generation? Have you ever read in the Bible a mysterious non-biblical process carried out in eternity past? You don't read those things in the Holy Bible. Let's get back to Holy Bible terminology and forget this stuff. And then he talks about the Arians, Jehovah's Witnesses and others. God sent the Son, he created. Where do you read that in the Bible, that God created the Son? When the Son made everything that was made, and without him was not anything made that was made. Right? Amen. But anyway, they say God sent the Son, he created, as the first created being, an angel. Okay, the Socinians, Church of God, Abrahamic faith. God sent the Messiah, who was supernaturally begotten, but was not God in any actual sense. All of these agree that God sent someone else, a deputy, while he remained aloof and remote. Each believes that God's suffering in Christ was vicarious, a father suffering vicariously as a son, and another being suffered actually. Then he says what the oneness believe. 6,000 oneness congregations, locally apostolic Bible church, God came himself. Christ was not divine, as some think, by virtue of his being the second person in the Godhead, which he never was and never will be. He was divine because he was God himself manifest in the flesh. The Bible in no place mentions the words Trinity, second person in the Godhead, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, blessed three in one, God in three persons, eternal generation. These terms came all together from the heads of philosophers and post-apostolic speculative theologian school in philosophy. How's that for an ad in the newspaper? Now you know why I read this. Here's another ad in the newspaper. Most important is to avoid fairy tales of relating death to sleep. In other words, learn from us how to deal with death and children. Don't learn from God. Don't learn from the Bible. Don't fool me. This world is under terrible influence, and that's why the Trinity doctrine is so widespread, because of this influence thing. People have been so influenced to hear three persons in the Godhead, or the Trinity, which the word Trinity's not in the Bible. Jesus only is. That's right. The word Trinity's not even in the Bible. Three gods is not in the Bible. God the Son, God the Holy Ghost is not in the Bible. Co-equal, co-eternal, terms like that are not in the Bible. Let's get back to good old Bible terminology. The Bible says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." Jesus said, "I and my Father are one." Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, "God hath made this same Jesus whom you have crucified both Lord and Christ." This is no cult. This is the truth that you and I are in. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Just to show you how angry Trinitarians get when there's a oneness doctrine and they call it a heresy. Listen to this. Skeletons in the closet. This is another ad that Brother Saban put in the St. Paul Dispatch during September 1985. Skeletons in the closet. In AD 385, Priscillian was executed by beheading along with six others. Who did this to him? The Catholic Church of that day. In AD 1553, Michael Servetus, now you've heard of that, they put on a whole play up there on Michael Servetus, was burned at the stake over a slow fire with wet straw and sulfur placed on his head. Who did this to him? The Protestant Church of that day. What crime had they committed? Both of these men found it impossible to believe in the doctrine of the Trinity. They reasoned that the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob was absolutely one. Such reasoning was considered to be a capital crime. So, for believing exactly as Moses, as the patriarchs, as the apostles, both men were cruelly executed by other Christians and in the Orthodox Christianity. Servetus' execution was actively sought and persecuted by John Calvin, Protestant Reformed theologian. Philip Melanchthon, Lutheran leader, wrote to Calvin praising the act of execution. If you ought to meet somebody that knows their church history, you just... Old Brother Saban's pork. I mean, it'll flow out of him. Logical questions that arise. Why did God insist that men believe and accept something so illogical that good and reasonable men would have difficulty understanding it, let alone believing it? Why did God cause creeds to be formulated so contradictory and confusing as the Nicene Creed and the Athanasian Creed? And he talked about the Athanasian Creed at length up there. And then insist men be anathematized, cursed, if they did not accept them. Why did God authorize his church to put people to death for doctrinal differences? The answer, he didn't. That brother saved me. The question of the Trinity is not settled. Please, let's take another look at it. Apostolic Bible Church, 6944 Hudson Boulevard, St. Paul. Praise the Lord for a man that will stand up and, if necessary, go on national television and open this thing up. And you know what happened? We had Michael Gibney here last Sunday, who stirred a few people up. But oh, thank God he did. I tell you, I need stirring up. You need stirring up. We all need stirring up. Visitors need stirring up. Everybody needs stirring up. because we're all headed for the judgment bar of Christ. We're all going to stand there one day without excuse. He'll take care of all that. Praise the Lord. Have you ever noticed when you read your Holy Bible, you open it up and the very first word you read is God? In the beginning, God. Genesis is 1:1, begins with God. The last verse of the Bible is Revelation 22, verse 21, and it ends with Jesus Christ. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. The Bible opens with God and it ends with Jesus. Now, that ought to speak clearly to us of God's plan. God's plan was to reveal himself. God's plan was to be manifest in flesh and come and die for sinners and save all who would believe on him. Oh, praise the Lord. The Bible begins with God and ends with Jesus Christ. And I say that that ought to speak very loudly and very clearly and forcibly to us that God had a plan. In Acts 10:43, we read these words, "To him, Jesus, give all the prophets witness." Just take the whole Old Testament, as it were. All the prophets give witness to Jesus. And I copied a little story here I want to read to you, or illustration at least. You will find that the presence of one person pervades the whole book. If you go into a British Navy yard or on board a British vessel, and obviously this was written a century or two ago, and pick up a piece of rope, you will find that there is one little red thread which runs through the whole of it, W-H-O-L-E, the whole of it, through every foot of cordage which belongs to the British government. So, if a piece of rope is stolen, it may be cut into inch pieces, but every piece has the mark which tells where it belongs. It is so with the Bible. You may separate it into 1,000 parts, and yet you will find one thought, one great fact running through the whole of it. You will find it constantly pointing and referring to one great personage. Around this mighty one personage, this whole book revolves. End of quote. Now, John 5:39, Jesus said, "Search the scriptures, for in them you think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." In other words, Jesus was saying, you search the scriptures, you read the Bible, but every place you turn, you find that red thread. You find me in there. You search the scriptures, for in them you think ye have eternal life, and they are they. Those scriptures are they which testify of me. In Luke 24:27, Jesus said, when he was walking with those two disciples on the road to Emmaus, beginning at Moses, that's Genesis 1:1, and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning the red thread, concerning himself. Praise the Lord, for there is no place that he is not. And then we read in Luke 24, maybe it'd be good to turn there a minute, Luke chapter 24, and finish that chapter out. Luke 24, verse 44. "And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you." Now this was after he had taken a piece of broiled fish and of an honeycomb and did eat before them. "And then he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost." It doesn't say that. It says concerning me. Jesus is the one and the only one. Praise the Lord. It's all in him. Praise God. "Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures." And that's the problem in the world today. When you come up with false doctrines like the Trinity, there's no such thing in the Holy Bible from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21. Amen. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures, which said unto them, "Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins." What did Peter say? "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins." Paul, Why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, washing away thy sins. I think a lot of people were shocked when Brother Gibney stood up here and he just kind of unloaded on a few people. I mean, he let it go. And if we were offended, God have mercy on us. Because I remember reading in the scripture where a man came out of the lonely wilderness, a rugged looking man with kind of dressed in camel clothing, you know, and eating locusts and wild honey. And here comes this man. I don't know what he looked like. We have a description of him here in the scripture, but he came out screaming, "Repent, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And he put a lot of people in their place. And then Jesus followed him and he said, "Except you all repent, you shall all likewise perish." And then they killed John the Baptist. They killed Jesus Christ. The apostles came. They killed, as far as I understand, all but one of them. And they tried to kill him, but he didn't boil too well. But that's not much, is it? As shocking as that might have been, they could kill the one that shocked them, but there's a day coming when it's not going to be Mike Gibney, and it's not going to be John the Baptist, and it's not going to be the Apostle Paul. It's going to be the Lord Jesus Christ sitting on his throne, and he's going to have every word, and he's going to have the last word. And if he said, "I said repent, and you didn't think you had to, I'm sorry, depart from me, you that work iniquity, I never knew you." If he said, "I taught in my word no plurality of baptisms, I said repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ," then that's the way it is, and it's no other way. And if you don't want to get shocked now, just wait till Judgment Day. Well, I'll tell you, I want to be right with God now. I want to search the scriptures and do everything I can find to do it right now. I don't want to go by tradition or what we've always done or by some precedent or something. I want to find in the Bible what the Word of God says and what it means, and I want to do it. Then when Judgment Day comes, I won't have to be ashamed before him at his coming. I can receive a full reward. You feel like I do today? Don't let this influence get a hold of you. Don't let these nice people. I just talked to somebody who heard Mike Gibney Sunday morning. And this person was keeping everything within themselves. Never said anything to these wonderful people in our church. But then, after Mike Gibney preached, they decided that they were always wondering whether or not we were a cult. It came out. Okay, how many of you have friends that have gnashed their teeth at you? Very few of you have had God, and they are exposed. There's going to be gnashing of teeth, the Bible says. And I don't think it's going to be, "Why didn't you tell me?" I think it's going to be, "Why didn't I listen?" A lot more people have been told than meets the eye, and they're making excuses for themselves. They make you feel guilty. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So he says here, "Repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem, and you are witnesses of these." In other words, go on and perpetuate that name. Don't let it stop when it dries in this book. Perpetuate this name. Perpetuate it throughout all generations, right down to the end and up to Judgment Day. Praise the Lord. And you and I have a job to do, and that is perpetuate his name. "Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. Tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high." He led them out as far as the Bethany, lifted up his hands and blessed them. It came to pass while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him. Returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple, praising and blessing God. Let's us do that. Let's us do that. Be perpetually, continually in the temple, praising and blessing God. You know, we have all this, what do we call it, terminology, nomenclature, and so on and so forth. Brother Saban said something about the Godhead, if I can find that here. Maybe I'll find it in a minute, and then I'll talk about this sheet here. I don't want to miss that. I said the Bible begins with God and ends with Jesus. Does that speak of two persons? It begins with God and ends with Jesus. Does that speak of two persons? Now you've read in 1 John chapter 5, verses 7 and verse 8, where it says there are three that bear record in heaven. There are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. You ever read that? In verse 8, there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three agree in one. Do these verses speak of three persons? Would you say the water is a person? Would you say the blood is a person? Would you say the Spirit is a person? Would you say the Father is a person? Would you say the Word is a person? Would you say the Holy Ghost? What would you say about this? Okay. 1 John 5, 7 says, and these three are one. And 1 John 5, 8 says, and these three agree in one. Now, when you read the book of Revelation, there are two animals spoken of in Revelation. I mean, that refer to Jesus. There are other animals, of course. But the Lamb is spoken of 27 times in the book of Revelation. And in, also in John chapter 1, verse 29, John the Baptist said, behold, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. And then also the book of Revelation speaks of another animal, the lion. In 5:5, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. Make no mistake about it. You know who the Lamb of God is which taketh away the sin of the world. What's his name? Amen. You know who the root of David is, don't you? What's his name?
Jesus
is the Lamb then, and Jesus is the Lion. Is that two Jesuses? How many?
One
Jesus. He's a Lion, he's a Lamb, he's one. He's Father, he's Son, he's Holy Ghost, he's Word, he's Blood, he's all, he's everything. These three are one. How do we get so mixed up on that sometimes? I was reading the Bible to my wife and granddaughter last night. And of course, when I come to church and read the Bible, I just read where I left off at home. So if you wonder why there's no continuity or chronological continuity, that's why. You know how much I've read between services, if you keep track. We read every morning and night. And last night, we were reading the books of John, the epistles of John. And listen to this. Have you ever heard anybody withstand you on this? This is a wonderful verse, and you and I have a great time referring to it and hope that nobody understands what italics mean in the scripture. You know what italics mean? When you see a word written in italics, that means that the translator added that, furnished that for clarification. Okay, listen. We read this, whosoever denieth the Son, that's Jesus, the same hath not the Father. That's God, right? Okay. And then in italics it says, but he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. I just love to talk about that. He that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. You don't have to worry about what they call the rest of the Godhead. You don't have to worry about the other two members of the Godhead. If you have Jesus Christ, you have Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. What you need is Jesus. You can't have God without Jesus, or the Holy Ghost without Jesus. They're inseparable.
Amen.
Okay, listen to it again. Whosoever denieth the Son, if you deny Jesus, and this is not in italics, you don't have the Father. That's what the Bible says. So the Jews that claim, I believe in God, Jehovah, I believe in God, but I don't believe in Jesus. I don't believe he was the Messiah. I don't believe he was the Son of God. I don't believe he was God manifest in the flesh. Impossible. They'll never go to heaven. Jesus said they wouldn't go to heaven. He said nobody comes unto the Father but by me. I am the way, the truth, and the light. There's only one way to heaven, only one way to God, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. So it says here, if you don't have Jesus, you don't have God. You don't have the Holy Ghost. You don't have what they call the other members of the Godhead. Follow me? Or follow him? Whosoever denieth the Son, if you deny Jesus, if you reject Jesus, if you don't have Jesus, you do not, you cannot, it's impossible to have God. Therefore, the Jews that don't believe in Jesus are not saved. Oh, you shouldn't talk so strong. You're judging now. No, the Word of God says so. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. That's what it says. You know what we need? We need some bolder preaching than we've been listening to. We need Dibney and his brother to come here and give us a doubleheader from the twins. Praise the Lord. We need it. I want it. I'm stirred up. I'm stirred up from last Sunday. And I'm stirred up from the oneness conference we were at. And then in italics, but he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. In other words, well, that's a logical conclusion, isn't it? If you don't have Jesus, you don't have God. If you do have Jesus, you have God. That's what he's saying. But it's in italics, and so somebody says, it's in italics. Well, we were just reading through last night. We got over to 2 John verse 9. Listen to that. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. And that's not in italics. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, and that's not in italics, he hath both the Father and the Son, and that's not in italics. So it looks to me like 1 John 2:23 had some pretty good italics. Praise the Lord, everybody. I tell you, I get so excited about this oneness teaching, there's nothing like it. In fact, I'll go so far as to say that that's the message of the whole Bible. That's the message of the whole Bible. That's why I said the book begins with God and ends with Jesus Christ. He had a plan. Jesus Christ was the Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the world. Before God ever said all the things that he said in the book of Genesis, he had a plan. Praise the Lord. And you and I were included in that glorious plan. Jesus, Jesus. We're in him. We're in him. Jesus is the plan of salvation. Hallelujah. That's why our salvation can't fail. Okay, I asked the question. We talk about the Bible beginning with God and ending with Jesus. Does that speak of two persons? I say, no, it doesn't. There are two animals spoken of in the book of Revelation, but they're one. And Jesus is that one. Hallelujah. Listen to Hebrews 10:12. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. Would somebody please describe the sacrifice for me? Would somebody please describe the offerer of the sacrifice to me? So you have the offering and you have the offerer. Lo and behold, they are both one. The one who offered was the sacrifice. Jesus offered himself a perfect sacrifice. Praise the Lord. Ending all the Old Testament animal sacrifices once for all as far as effectually goes. Praise the Lord. Go ahead and describe the sacrifice. Then describe the offerer. And you find out they're the same. Is it wrong? Is it sacrilegious? Is it too daring to say that Jesus is the lion and Jesus is the lamb? Jesus is the offering and Jesus is the offerer? Is it too daring, too bold to say that he is both? No, it's not. Praise the Lord. Revelation 22:16, Jesus said, I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright morning star. Describe the root of David to me. Open your Bible. Search the scriptures. Describe the root and then describe the offspring. You'll find that Jesus Christ was absolutely true. He said, I am the root and I am the offspring. You know what he was saying? I'm the father of David and I'm the son of David. Can he be a father and a son? Hallelujah. And when he talked about sending the Holy Ghost, he said, I won't leave you little orphans. I won't leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Hallelujah. I'm not afraid to say that it's all in him. I can sing that with enthusiasm. You go ahead and describe the root. You'll be describing Jesus. When you get done searching the scriptures, you find out the root was Jesus. And you describe the offspring. When you get done searching the scriptures, you find the offspring was Jesus. Can Jesus be both root and offspring? Can he be both lion and lamb? Can he be both offering and offerer? Can he be both God and man? Can he be both human and divine? Can he be both the Son of Man and the Son of God? Can he be both first and last? Can he be both beginning and end? Can he be both A and Z or Alpha and Omega? Now, you know that A and Z aren't the same thing. You don't have that choice when you spell zebra to say Abe Z. Put A where Z was and Z where A was. You, You don't have that liberty. But in the Holy Ghost, no man can say that Jesus is Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. It takes Holy Ghost boldness to be a oneness believer. It takes Holy Ghost boldness. Praise the Lord. And that's just exactly what I've got. Holy Ghost boldness. How many got the Holy Ghost? How many got boldness? Praise the Lord. You can say it. Hallelujah. Amen. He also said, John the Baptist said, he that cometh after me is preferred before me. Now, wait a minute. What kind of talk is that? That same kind of talk that Jesus said in Revelation 22. And he said, I'm the root and the offspring. I'm the father and the son of David. He caused quite a stir, too. And he really closed their mouths in the Gospels when he said, what think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? They said, David. And he said, well, how come then? If he's his son, how come David calls him his father? Calls him his Lord? Ooh, it says they didn't dare ask him any more questions. This guy's too smart for us. We better not talk anymore. He quieted them down. Let me tell you something. All the Trinitarians are going to be quieted down one day. When they say the great God, and when they see the great God and our Savior coming in the clouds of glory, whose name is Jesus Christ, and there won't be two companions with him either. He is God alone. Hallelujah, hallelujah. That's what it says. The coming of our great God and Savior. How many times in the Old Testament does God affirm that he is the Savior, the Redeemer? Oh, did you hear what Steve Gibney said up there at the conference one night? He said he was, here's the way he preaches. Boy, that's all right with me, I've done it too. He just goes like this, just back and forth across that whole platform. He says, I'll tell you, preacher, something. He says, more Trinitarian preachers are going to get this revelation of the one God. And when they get it, they're going to come into your churches and rebuke you for not being more excited about this wonderful, marvelous, glorious, God-given revelation. Woo! That's what he said. And I think we all agree. We need to be more excited about this thing. I'm excited about it. I've always been excited about it. I've always said that's the message of the Bible. The oneness of God. That's the Shema. Everybody say Shema.
Shema.
Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. No wonder they call us. Oh, what do they call us? What do they call us? Well, you know what Mike Gibney said. He said after he got the oneness revelation, Trinitarians would come to him and say, I'd rather be baptized in the name of a dog than in the name of Jesus. That's how angry they get. Listen, their true colors haven't shown yet until they're confronted with truth. Truth that they can't gainsay. I'm not saying all Trinitarians have that spirit. I'm saying there ought to be a great revival among Trinitarians of a revelation of Jesus' name. If they have the Holy Ghost, the Bible says the Holy Ghost will guide and lead them into all truth. Oh, Brother Tanner, don't stir anything up. No, don't be like Jesus. Don't be like Paul. Don't be like John the Baptist. Don't be like Isaiah. Don't be like the prophets. No. Oh, why not? Why not? Praise the Lord. Say, folks, I'm not oneness for no reason at all. I've read this book. I like what Mike Gibney said here too. He said, I didn't come into this thing blindly. I studied this thing, debated it and everything else, and I got the revelation. Praise the Lord. Some of you have come to me, and even visitors have come and said, well, we like that preacher. Could you have him back again? Sure we can. Praise the Lord. Okay, after you read all that, he's the root and the offspring, the lion and the lamb, the offering and the offerer, God and man, human and divine, son of man, son of God, first and last, beginning and end, Alpha and Omega, before John the Baptist, after John the Baptist. Then remember Peter's words on the day of Pentecost when he was filled with the Holy Ghost. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God, not the oneness movement, not Pentecostal assembly, not the UPC, God hath made that same Jesus whom you have crucified both Lord and Christ. You can't deny it, folks. The world can't deny it. Trinitarians can't deny it. There's only one name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Peter preached it in Acts 4:12. Only one name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Two gods, three gods, four gods, or more gods, there's still only one name.
Amen.
However many gods they come up with, there's still only one name. The Bible, you can say I'm baptized in three names. The name of the Father, and they argue the Father is a name. Wait a minute. The Son is a name. The Holy Ghost is a name. Wait a minute. The Bible says there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved than the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Everybody shout Jesus.
Jesus.
Praise the Lord. One name. So when you start defending three names or three titles or something, you are on the wrong road. There's only one name. If you believe that, just say one name.
One name.
That's what the Bible says. One name. And his name shall be called Jesus, which being interpreted is? Right. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Emmanuel. God with us. Jesus Christ was God with us. How in the world
did
we get around it? That's the Bible. That's the Bible. Listen, let me remind you. If you were shocked by Mike Gibney, just wait till judgment day. If visitors were shocked by hearing Mike Gibney, just wait till they stand before Jesus Christ and he opens this book and judges everybody out of this book. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and life. He said, these words that I speak unto you will judge you at the last day. Let's not try to hide, because that which is hidden will be revealed. That which is done in secret will be shown openly. Amen. I said I'm not oneness for no reason at all. I've read the book, and the book says study. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, study to show thyself approved unto God. Now it says show yourself approved. It doesn't say your personal opinion approved. Don't study to show your personal opinion approved. By that I mean, don't draw your conclusion and then go to the scripture to support it. In other words, don't study for support. Support what you study.
Amen.
Follow me?
Amen.
Don't study for support. Support what you study. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. You know, Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free.
Praise the Lord.
If you all's in bondage this morning, you's not free.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because if you know the truth, it'll set you free. And I don't know of another truth greater than the oneness truth.
Amen.
That's the greatest
Amen.
Truth in the scripture, because it involves everything in the plan of salvation.
Yes.
That's right. In fact, you cannot properly understand the Godhead apart from the plan of salvation. That's what the Godhead's all about. God must become a man. He must become flesh. To shed blood, to die, to expire on the cross, to save us. What would he have to become man for if it wasn't for the purpose of salvation? God's God. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. And just, I didn't memorize all the rest of it, and I've been mildly rebuked for that, but that's good. Down to verse 14, and the Word was made flesh. And dwelt among us. I know there's more in between there, and I love it, and thank you, brother. But praise the Lord. But this is the way I learned it, and it just comes out all the time. You know, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glories of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Listen, if you want to be saved today, you've got to come to Jesus. And if you want to enjoy your salvation, you've got to understand the Godhead. If you want to be saved, it'll only be through Jesus. If you want to be happy, if you want to be full of joy, overflowing with rejoicing, you've got to understand the Godhead. We were talking about the Sabbath day recently, you know, keeping the Sabbath day with some wonderful people. And keeping Saturday instead of Sunday. And, of course, I'd like to teach on that a little bit, but one thing One thing I did say was, I've never seen a happy Seventh Adventist yet. I haven't. Maybe you have. I haven't. Oh, maybe if they're cowhead twins or something, they might be happy, you know. And that's a reason for being happy. I'm talking about the joy of the Lord. I'm talking about the joy of the Lord. I'm going to have the joy of the Lord. Praise the Lord. I've never seen a, and I've been in their homes, I've been in their churches, and I have sung to them, and even preached a little bit in their presence, and I love them, precious. It looks like I'm at war today, doesn't it? Just attacking. No, no, I'm defending. Paul said, I'm set for the defense of the gospel. Yeah, I'm set for the defense of the oneness doctrine. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Yeah, I'm set for the defense of worshiping 7 days a week. Amen. Not limiting it to Saturday. Well, you know, they have their arguments. Well, I'll teach on that, though. Well, we keep all nine. How come we don't keep the 10th one? Oh, how would you like to hear an explanation? Good. I'll be doing that. I'll be doing that. Praise the Lord. Oh, my. We have to quit because we ran out of time, and we're going to have a problem.